Romans have been enjoying wine for 8,000 years or more, and there's never been entry exams, literacy tests, diplomas, or membership fees. You can go as far or deep as you want, or just take it all in and find your happy place. That being said, we like to spend our week looking for things that we can share with you in this space and time. We'll give you food for thought, ideas for adventures, and most weeks, tips, pointers, and insights that you can use the minute the program ends. Wine has always united us. It still does. And we've never needed that more. So climb aboard. There is no time like the present to get your adventure started. So here's your host, the Doctor of Deliciousness, the Chairman of the Bordeaux, the Top Gun of Wine Fun, David Wilson.
When I was offered the opportunity to have today's guest on the show, you could have likened my enthusiasm to that of a six-year-old kid who was just told by his parents that they would be taking him to Disneyland for the very first time. Except in this case, my parents weren't just taking me, they were going to buy me the entire Magic Kingdom for my own personal amusement for the rest of my life. You can sum my enthusiasm up in one sentence. Today's guest understands what humans really want and really need better than 99.99% of everyone on the planet who fancies themselves as an expert in human behavior. My guest has a resume that's mind-blowing, and even though she's probably best known for the total reinvention of the wine buying and wine appreciation experience, the road to her current position includes working alongside iconic broadcasters like Diane Sawyer of 60 Minutes fame, and leading the reimagination of many of the world's most iconic brands like Donna Karan, Razorfish, and Giorgio Armani. When I was in college, there was this game that me and my friends would play while enjoying a glass of wine from a jug or a box. We would each choose a historic figure, living or dead, that we'd love to sit down on a park bench with for an hour and talk about anything we wanted to. So it was Leonardo da Vinci, Mother Teresa, Benjamin Franklin, anyone. But this game also frustrated me big time because there's no way you could limit a conversation like that to an hour. At least I can't.
That's the way I feel today. I have a guest on us who I know I could talk to all day and drive her completely out of her mind. She is so interesting. You know what's nice is when you have people on that know a lot about something that you know absolutely nothing about. If I just put people on the show that thought the way I do and knew everything that I know, the show would last for about a week. But when you get a Jessica Kogan on the show, I'm telling you what, the stuff she knows, I am so super stupid about.
I seriously doubt that.
Oh, Jessica Kogan is the Chief Growth and Experience Officer at Vintage Wine Estates. And you might remember that 3 weeks ago, we had Jenna Duran on, VP of Marketing there. And I tell you what, I don't think I've ever been so charmed in my entire life, but I have a feeling that Jessica Kogan might be able to give us a run for our money here. Jessica, I'm not even going to get into your resume just yet. I just want to welcome you. And I want to thank you for coming all the way to Italy to be on my show.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for inviting me.
You have accomplished so much for a 25-year-old. It's just mind-blowing.
Yes, that is correct.
I just earned some points, I hope. Okay, so yes, Jessica, so you are the Chief Growth and Experience Officer for Vintage Wine Estates, and we're going to figure out what the heck that means in just a second, okay?
Yes.
But you came aboard there in 2017. You were one of the co-founders with Cameron Hughes for his wine. I was going to say his wine company, but his namesake wine company, right?
Yes.
And anyway, that company launched in 2004. Is that right?
It actually launched in 2005. Okay. We were in store. It started as a business that sold to Costco and at the same time online. But yeah, it was like 2004, 2005.
So here's the part that I want to understand about that. In terms of what you were doing before the Cameron Hughes experience, where did you come from? Your background is a little sketchy. You're a little mysterious in some ways. Where have you been?
Totally.
And how did you get to Cameron Hughes?
First of all, I came from Venus. a place far away from here. In truth, okay. I never intended to be in the wine industry. It was never the path that I imagined for myself. Similar to you, I actually wanted to go into broadcast journalism and was very interested in production and worked with Diane Sawyer at 2020, worked at Good Morning America back when Charlie Gibson and Joan London were there. I'm throwing it way back, but I ended up deciding that it was a really tough life to be in broadcast journalism. So I was in New York. I lived in New York City. I went to NYU and ended up launching a brand with this designer. Her name is Donna Karen, and she became very famous very quickly. And through that experience, worked with brands from all over the world, brands that needed to be rebranded, Elizabeth Arden, Dr. Scholl's, brands that were new, Urban Decay, and then moved into the world of web design and development after I launched a site called Boo.com, which was a sportswear fashion e-tailer site. And I ended up doing that for some time, building websites, helped build Schwab.com, the first site that enabled individuals to not call their broker, but trade online, really revolutionizing. That was incredible. Worked with the Southern Poverty Law Center to build at tolerance.org, which is to provide rubrics to teachers around the country. So lots of really cool stuff. At the same time, I was dating this dude named Cameron Hughes, who grew up in Modesto. And he was living in New York because he was working
I have to stop you. Yes. So you're in the fast lane in New York and you start dating a guy from Modesto.
Can you believe it?
Does that even happen?
I can't even tell you what it was like because I thought tomatoes grew from pavement. Like the whole thing. I was like, everything's packaged. Like, I don't even know where things come from. I'm just whatever. But yeah, he was from Modesto, from a lovely family and just a lovely place to grow up, I have to say. But in any case, we started dating. He moved back to California. I was still in New York. And he's like, hey, why don't you move to California and let's just see where this goes. And at the time I was like, you know what? That's great. My company wanted to move me out to California, to San Francisco. We arrived in San Francisco. Cam and I were having just a wonderful time. And we went out to dinner one night and we had this wine. It was just horrible. We paid $18 for it. This is back in 2001, 2002. Yeah. And Cam was like, I can do this. I can do this better. And I said to him, tell me about the business. What are you thinking? And we talked about how at the high end, there's always some excess wine and that we could do a bit of blending, bottle it up and sell it direct. And I said, ooh, I can build a website. I can build a transactional website for that. Like I can do that. And also, Cam, I'm really good at branding people. That's like kind of my special hidden superpower. Yeah. And that's really how I ended up in the wine industry. I launched a company with my then partner and it was just super fun. And as you can, it's just, there's so much to work with as a personality, just really great sharing the vision, talking about the business, and the company just grew super fast. And at the same time was overseeing the growth of the e-com business. And that was really like my labor of love that I just truly enjoyed. And then we decided that the business would expand beyond selling direct and moved into more broad market. That ended up not being like the best decision simply because of the model. We buy in the spot market. So when there's contraction in the market, it's very difficult for us to manage our costs within our cost of goods. Moving into the broad market where the turn is like 2 years, was very difficult for a business that was selling direct and producing 50 different wines a year. We ended up being acquired by Vintage Wine Estates, and they were really looking for an e-com capability and, of course, really liked the idea of the business to interface with their high-end bulk. And the business continued to flourish under Vintage Wine Estates. They then asked me to oversee their entire direct-to-consumer business, which includes the 12 wineries, their lifestyle brands, the wine clubs, the tasting rooms, anything that is direct to a customer, talking to a customer, and super fun. I really enjoyed it. We grew the business from a $25 million business to a $100 million business in 4 years. And then after COVID, decided to take some time off, stepped away from the business for a little bit, came back after last summer at the behest of Terry Wheatley, who is president of this company, and she's amazing. And she said, we really want to create a role for you, because I felt that in the direct-to-consumer business, there was like this this great merging happening between wholesale and direct consumer called eGrocery. So,
okay, you got to hold the thought now because we got to take a little break for a second and we're going to come right back. I can't wait to hear the rest of this story. And I have so many questions to ask you. It's not going to happen in one interview, but we're talking to Jessica Kogan, Chief Growth and Experience Officer at Vintage Wine Estates. Christ, we'll be back with more Grape Encounters right after this.
David will be back with more Grape Encounters right after they touch up his hair and makeup. Oh, wait, this is radio. Well, there's still paparazzi after the show to deal with.
No.
In Greek mythology, we learn the mysterious connection between walnuts and wine. When Dionysus, the god of wine, fell in love with Princess Caria of Laconia, her sisters tried to prevent the romance, so Dionysus turned them into rocks. He also turned his beloved Caria into a walnut tree. She was, after all, a hard nut to crack. At mmorganics.com in Paso Robles, California, Walnuts and Wine is the ultimate love story. You'll flip over their 100% organic port-style dessert wines and organic heirloom walnut products, including sprouted snacking walnuts in five awesome flavors, irresistible raw organic walnut butter, free trade chocolate-covered walnuts, and for bakers, MM Organics produces 100% gluten-free walnut flour, estate walnut oil, and of course, their crazy delicious raw walnuts. Get all their products online at mmorganics.com. That's mmorganics.com.
At every family gathering, my brother Steve and I each bring several bottles of wines and try to one-up each other. I bring wines from all over. Steve only brings wines from California's Mendocino wine country, where he's lived for decades. And even though there are hundreds of great wineries there he can choose from, he mostly brings wines from the Graziano family of wines. Now, you'd think you'd see a lot of duplicates from past gatherings since most producers only make 6 to 12 wines, but Graziano has 5 brands that make literally dozens, upwards of 30 mostly Italian varietals, and all rock stars. Made by the real rock star, Greg Graziano. You can hear my recent interview with Greg at GrapeEncounters.com, and you can find Graziano wines all over America or buy them online at GrazianoFamilyOfWines.com. I've never confessed how much I love Graziano wines to my brother, and let's keep it that way.
Welcome back to Grape Encounters. Did you know there are more compounds in wine than in blood? Maybe vampires ought to rethink their drink.
Talk about a person who has done it all. You know, one of the things that really screws my day up several times a week is Google and my tendency to not leave well enough alone. That is to say, I can listen to an amazing interview or read an intriguing story, but then I want more. And I take a deep dive into the people, the places, or things that set my interest and imagination on fire. I'm a certifiable news and information junkie. And it's people like today's guest, Jessica Kogan, that get me in terrible trouble. Because the more I learn about her, the more I want to know. And I just can't wrap my arms around how it's possible for somebody who looks like she's in her 20s to have had such a massive impact on consumers. And her work has made our lives so much better. When we come into contact with any of the products that she has anointed, we instantly have access to more information and are treated to a much more personalized and entertaining encounter than ever before. I don't know what it's like in Jessica Kogan's house, but I'm guessing it's really fun around Easter because there gotta be golden eggs everywhere. Because it just seems, Jessica, like everything that you touch turns to gold. Jessica Kogan, Chief Growth and Experience Officer for Vintage Wine Estates. You don't mess around when it comes to growth and experience. Are you fearless?
I really try to be. I will tell you, if I'm not freaking out, I feel like I'm not living. If I'm not having a panic attack about something that I'm trying that is new, I just don't feel that I'm engaging properly in the universe.
What is it like to be you? And you grew up like everybody else, I assume. And then all of a sudden, the things that you're doing are doing numbers in the millions. And we're talking about a lot of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
What was it like to see that first million show up on the tote board? Or did you ease into it so easily that it just wasn't as big an event? Although you were working with people like Donna Karan, which is a huge name that you just kind of fluffed off in the last segment. Oh, and Donna Karan. Okay. What was it like?
So working for somebody else and making the millions is very awesome and exciting. But when it's your own and you're doing it for yourself, this is the honest truth. You are so in it that you can barely feel it and you can barely experience it because you're just worried about the next and the next. And so I would sometimes teach a class at Stanford Business School. Everybody wants to start their own company, blah, blah, all this stuff. And I always try to add into the curriculum, the learning is that it is awesome to accomplish your goals, awesome to accomplish your objectives. But if you don't take the time to celebrate it, like digest it, enjoy it, reflect on it, it loses its meaning. And I
But your old boss, though, Donna Karan, I saw an interview with her and she says, that she doesn't take time out to take a break because she just loves working so much. Is that right? Is that describe her?
She's the queen of Zen. Are you kidding? Like that woman is like doing yoga and meditation practice every morning, like nonstop. She is a workaholic. She's a workaholic. 100%.
But she still takes the time out. All right. Let's get into some very important subjects for me. Mm-hmm. All right. First of all, there's a lot of tension in the wine industry right now from the seller side. And I don't mean the seller that you go down into and then don't come out for 6 hours. But there is a lot of tension about where the future of the wine industry is going to be because it's not bringing in people as easily. I'm not saying as much, but as easily as it used to. Young people are, I think it's good. They're interested in a lot more stuff. And when I turned 21 last year, I couldn't wait to drink and just to go and go out and drink stuff. And it was jug wine. In your job, is this one of the biggest concerns? It's not as easy to sell any product to anybody today in the way that we used to. It's all changing. And you are obviously ahead of the curve. How do you do that? And what worries you the most?
I'm not worried for the wine industry. I just, everyone is like doomsdaying what's going on in the industry.
Yeah.
And that's a result of their old way of selling. And their old way of selling doesn't work. It's not a model that is going to last. It will not. However, we have never been closer to a customer. We have never been able to tell our story to a customer directly as we do now. If you go to Safeway.com or Target.com or Cameron Hughes or CHWine.com or Bardog.com, customers are, instead of just looking at pictures on a shelf or labels on a shelf, they can actually find these products online and read about them and learn about them and engage with the story. And I think Gen Z is a very story-oriented cohort. They are a wellness-driven cohort. They are somewhat price-sensitive, but not like millennials. And I believe that they are going to strongly come back to wine because it's better for your body. It just is. The calories are the same as the RTDs that are out there. Did I mention it's better for your body?
I think you mentioned
that these things are so important to the next generation and their messages that we as an industry are like holding back on because there is one part of the industry that is very like traditional and all about the technical components of wine. Whereas most customers just really want a really good story and to be sold on the story. If you look at yellowtail wine or you look at cupcake or any of these wines that I know that are mass produced and not necessarily the daily choice of people, but it's like customers, they respond to the idea, to the story and not like what's exactly in there. they engage in what's exactly in there once they put the bottle in their cart. And so our Gen Z that's coming up with us, they are different. They aren't so much about the cupcake. They aren't so much about the yellowtail. They are more about a brand that is giving them transparency, that is giving them quality, that is good for their body, and is doing something good for the world. And I see a lot of brands that are doing that. Are we going to see Costa Brown and Opus Warren and all Screaming Eagle and that whole collector's aspect of wine? Of course, like it's not going to go away. But what we're talking about are when we talk about people are turning away from wine is more the commercial aspect of wine.
Okay, we have to take a break.
Yeah.
Jessica, can you stay for the next 4 hours? Oh, that'll be all right for you. Yeah. God, I just want to spend a week with you and learn like 1/100th of what you know. It's fantastic. Jessica Kogan, Chief Growth and Experience Officer at Vintage Wine Estates. She came to Vintage Wine Estates along with the Cameron Hughes brand in order to get her to come with the brand. They had to double the buying price. And that's a little known thing, but I know that from talking to friends. I think about what a struggle it used to be and still can be in many cases to try to understand products and companies that we may want to do business with. Jessica is somebody who has an uncanny ability to turn obstacles into opportunities, frustration into fascination, challenges into championships. Jessica and I will return with more Grape Encounters right after this.
Did you know that some wines are just as delicious and desirable after 100 years as they were when they were young? Should I be seeing a winemaker instead of my doctor? Grape Encounters will return right after this.
The only thing that Mendocino County winemaker Greg Graziano can't tell you about wine is how many different choices he makes. It's somewhere between dozens and cowabunga. Artisans like Greg don't count, they create. Did Da Vinci or Michelangelo take inventory? Let's just say that Italians like Greg can easily get carried away, especially when it comes to food and wine. Great wine is in Greg's DNA. His immigrant grandparents started making Mendocino wines in the early 20s, and despite being the head honcho of the much-beloved Graziano family of wines, Greg is just a humble, lovable guy. When you play in the dirt all day, you can't help but be down to earth. Ask your wine cellar for Graziano wines, or just visit GrazianoFamilyOfWines.com. They've got 5 different brands. Why? Well, because Italians tend to have big families. Life is just more fun with a Graziano at your table.
At Bar Dog, we believe that every dog deserves a life of unconditional love. That's why we've teamed up with Petfinder Foundation to establish the Bar Dog Operations Grant. Money from this grant goes to rescue shelters across North America and helps save animals awaiting their forever homes. Visit bardogwine.com to find a bottle near you and help Bar Dog give back. Bar Dog, wine for humans, love for dogs.
Something amazing happened on my last visit to Total Wine & More. Not only did I find my favorite Cabernet, but I got it for the lowest price. In fact, the price was so low that I thought they made a mistake. Nope. Ultra-low prices are no mistake at Total Wine & More. This is why I notoriously end up bringing home way more great bottles than I originally planned. Someone once said, when faced with more than one good choice, take them all. I can relate and can't wait to return to Total Wine and grab some real gems for upcoming visits with friends. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. And drink responsibly. Be 21. All right, I have to be not long-winded as I jump into this because Jessica Kogan has too much to share. Jessica, are you going to come back and do 2 or 3 more shows with me, honestly?
Absolutely. I would love to. Yes. Yes. First of all, I have such a tough act to follow with Jenna. You know, whatever it takes, whatever it takes.
No, you are two very different. You're exactly the same, but totally different. That's the deal. We're talking to Jessica Kogan. She is the Chief Growth and Experience Officer at Vintage Wine Estates. And the numbers are really crazy in terms of where you took this company. Do they put flowers on your desk every day or anything like that? Or do you ever threaten to leave just for fun? You are a superstar. Oh my gosh. It's crazy. Did you expect when you came over to Vintage that, you know, all of your experience in the new way of selling, did you expect this kind of success? Because, I mean, it really is just unbelievably amazing.
The truth is, I did not expect the amount of success because I could never have anticipated that we would essentially grow adoption of e-commerce and the internet in the course of 2 years that would basically account for 10 years that we expected it to take.
Wow.
That's really it. COVID was terrible for everybody, but for the business, for the vertical that I work in and the area that I care about in terms of selling, it became the most important channel of selling. And so did we expect to be so successful? We were ready. We were ready intentionally, unintentionally. We were already thinking very heavily about e-commerce at Vintage Wine Estates. When COVID happened, we engaged fully. And then post-COVID, what we're seeing is this great realignment and just this realignment and integration of coming together between what's happening in the direct-to-consumer space, so wineries that sell their wine online, and retailers that sell their wine online, and a relationship that exists between the two that is no longer really owned by the distributor, if that makes any sense, because narrative.
But let me ask you this about COVID. COVID decimated so many people, including me, because I owned a wine bar that, for the most part, couldn't open for the better part of 2 years.
Yeah.
But COVID forced everybody to reinvent themselves. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking on Zoom right now. Zoom wouldn't be a major force if it were not for COVID.
Yes.
A lot of people got very lucky because of COVID. And I think in the wine industry, that is definitely the case. By the way, I invented the idea of virtual tastings and I've never gotten credit for it. It was my idea. Woke up in the middle of the night. I said, I know what we could do. And then people like you jumped all over it before I could even get changed out of my pajamas. It's not fair.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's okay.
I'm sorry about that. And I will tell you that for the on-premise universe during COVID, it was hard, right? So you were closed. You had to pivot to like doing takeout. It was the same thing for the tasting rooms. They were pretty much closed as well, even though production was under the law, like a necessary manufacturing piece in California. The tasting rooms were closed to the public for the better part of like a year and a half. And the way we handled that and the pivot with that was really the customers who had visited the tasting rooms for the previous 2 years. We had been collecting their phone numbers, et cetera. And we had the team do outbound calling, very traditional outbound calling to customers and placing orders that way. We all had to get creative. We all had to do things a little bit differently. But I will say, like, just a little thing that I know you will understand. Do you remember QR codes? They were introduced in 2010, if not earlier.
And everybody wanted, was like, nobody wanted to do it. Nobody wanted to do
it. Nobody. Like, what is this? And now you can't do anything without a QR code, which has been, I actually think, such a good thing because it saves paper. It's so less wasteful because you take a customer digitally to the information that they're looking for. I think that through bad comes good and then through good sometimes comes bad. And it's the course of life. It's just like the pendulum's always swinging. But for like you, COVID changed your very lifestyle. Your entire world changed. And I think for the better.
Oh, I just up and moved to Italy. That was all. I have a quick question for you because I ran a marketing firm for a long time. And as a matter of fact, when things were changing from conventional commercials, radio and TV ads, the way that we used to do them to the internet, I wasn't excited about it. In fact, I didn't really want to learn it all, to be really honest with you. But I'm going to ask you a question right now, but I want you to think about this. The question is,
there was a time, obviously, when even the small wine producers, the little family operations started to build their own websites or have somebody build it for a ridiculously high price. And they were starting to advertise their wines online. And that, honestly, it just wine online scared me for a while because I was thinking there's nothing that replaces sitting down and tasting the wine. But this is just my opinion. There's a database that has really come of age. It's customer reviews. And I want to hear your thoughts on it. Those customer reviews are so much more valuable to me than some blowhard that's trying to impress people with his pomposity.
Jessica, I posed a question to you, and it really boils down to this.
There was a time when everybody was starting to build nice websites, and you could look at the wine. The thing about wine is I can look at a shirt and a pair of pants or a pair of shoes or most products online and get a pretty good idea about whether it's going to be okay for me unless I buy clothes on Amazon that are made in China and they're four sizes too small. But other than that, generally speaking, it works out just fine. The problem with wine is, first of all, 95% of the descriptions on a wine bottle are total BS. And I don't even know who writes that dribble, but it's irresponsible. Mm-hmm. I'm on the warpath where tasting notes are concerned right now. I think what is exciting is that a person can go online and they can read 50 people saying, you know, I really loved this wine. And I trust that more than the person who wrote the tasting notes on the bottle. Your turn.
Yeah. How many times have you read about a Sauvignon Blanc? It smells or tastes like cat pee. And you're just like, what? Or who's smelling cat pee? What are you talking about? Or smells like a barnyard. 99% of the wine drinking public is, what are you talking about? Does it taste good? Does it taste bad? Like, how did you experience it? One of the most amazing things of the internet and of having our own sites has been what I call the disintermediation of the critic, which is customers sharing their point of view. And what sells products online is not what a critic says, it's what a customer says.
Right.
And especially, most especially for wine and for anything that is a discretionary purchase, we as consumers are looking for information. We want to understand how others are experiencing the product. It matters to us because it's also how we feel about ourselves. So a perfect example is we have this Napa wine online. It's sold out. It's a Stag Sleep Cab, has all the pedigree you can imagine. And we wrote the wine descriptors, et cetera. But really what made the wine so interesting is like the 55 reviews from customers who experience the wine 55 different ways. It's just incredible. It's not like reviews that are like rote. It's actually reviews of people saying, I had this with my mom and I just was blown away by how rich it was. Using words that wine critics don't, but that other customers do understand. And it's a breakthrough for our industry. It really is.
God, I just want to spend a week with you and learn like 1/100th of what you know. It's fantastic. Jessica Kogan, Chief Growth and Experience Officer at Vintage Wine Estates. She came to Vintage Wine Estates along with the Cameron Hughes brand in order to get her to come with the brand. They had to double the buying price. And that's a little known thing, but I know that from talking to friends. All right, we'll be back with more Grape Encounters right after this.
At MM Organics, we're surrounded by health nuts. That's because we're obsessed with lowering blood pressure, cholesterol, and the risk of cancer. We want to make weight loss easier and help you strengthen everything from your heart to your teeth, nails, and hair. Full disclosure, those health nuts are actually dry-farmed, heirloom, certified organic raw walnuts. Rich with essential vitamins and nutrients, they're vastly superior to other nuts. Imagine, walnuts can actually lower stress and boost your brain power. No wonder MM Organics customers are so darn smart. MMOrganics.com is where you'll find our uniquely irresistible raw walnuts, walnut butter, oil, and flour, sprouted flavored walnuts, and decadent fair trade chocolate covered walnuts, which pair beautifully with our legendary two-horse port style wine. MMOrganics.com. eating any other nuts is just plain nuts.
Total Wine & More is to wine enthusiasts, from beginners to experts, what the Smithsonian is to lovers of history and culture. That's why every visit results in countless new discoveries and at least one, if not a dozen, new favorites. For more than 30 years, Total Wine & More has been the undisputed champion where selection, expertise, the lowest prices, and friendly, unpretentious service are concerned. Find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. And please, drink responsibly. Be 21. So, I was feverishly trying to find my 33 and a third vinyl copy of the Beatles' White Album during the break. It was released in 1968, so how amazing is it that the Fab Four predicted that the wine world would be turned upside down in a mere 55 years? Can there be any doubt that this is what they were foreshadowing in the song Revolution? Seriously, mark my word, the groundwork has been laid, the battle plan is flawless, and there is going to be a revolution in the world of wine that you're going to love. And you have people like Jessica Kogan, Chief Growth and Experience Officer at Vintage Wine Estates, to thank. So I'm going to tell you this right now. I know this is what's going to happen. There is going to be a revolution. It's starting right now. Yeah. I know that I'm a disruptor and I'm proud to be a disruptor. I'm proud to be able to tell people that I don't like Pinot Noir and don't make me drink it because it's not my favorite wine. And it's okay because there are at least 20,000 wine varietals out there and I can live without Pinot. I don't need it. And people are so freaking afraid. If you don't drink Pinot, then you know nothing about wine. Guess what? I drink Moscato. And I know a lot about wine, but I know it from the school of hard knocks, from being in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And I think what's going to happen is that at some point, the world is going to understand that what you taste, Jessica, isn't what I taste. There's a reason why every year they make 400 billion bottles of wine or whatever it is, and every last bottle gets sold because there's somebody that's going to drink it, but what you like is not what I like. And we're just starting to really understand the concept of taste. And so I think it's really nice that consumers are explaining why they like wine in their own mostly simple terms. That is exactly the way that they would communicate across the table at Thanksgiving. And we need this, and we need critics to get. I'm not against critics, and I'm not against pairing, not against tasting notes. I'm against people turning it into a sport because really they're all just competing with one another.
I think of it as a wine customer because I've always seen myself as an outsider to the wine industry and I didn't grow up in wine country or the wine world. And I really see it through this lens. I have been disappointed so many times by wines that I have purchased based on what critics have told me are amazing wine. And I just don't get it. I don't see it. And so result is like, I would question myself and be like, maybe I just don't understand and maybe I just don't know. But no, this is the thing about wine. This is the thing about wine that is so beautiful is that what you taste and that what you like is good. If it's good for you, it's good. You don't need somebody to tell you that this wine has this and that. That if it tastes good to you, knock yourself out. But don't be embarrassed to buy it and love what you love. And I think that the industry has really hurt itself in this way because the result is you have anxiety-driven customers who are like, if I don't like Pinot Noir, but I know I can't drink Merlot now because it's totally not in style. And they're not even cutting themselves a break because the industry is not cutting them a break.
It's a food product, basically. And fashion may go out of style. Cars may go out of style. But you know what? People still love macaroni and cheese, and they always will. And they will always love Coca-Cola. And I just think we're learning a lot of stuff. We're learning a lot about taste and how it differs from one palate to the other. And I also am very hung up on all of the environmental things that affect the way that we perceive wine. Putting wine in context is super important. And a good winery, like your tasting rooms, they're designed to
provide the perfect environment, atmosphere to taste that wine. And people need to do a better job at home of tailoring their environment a little bit. When you're drinking wine, care about the lighting, care about the music, care about all of this other stuff, because it does matter. That's all we got, yeah. Jessica. I'm sorry. I'm ending on me preaching, but tell us, you have your own picks that you do with wine. Where can we find out more about what you've got going on and a little bit about Vintage Wine Estates?
Sure. Vintage Wine Estates is, I think, the 11th largest wine company in the U.S., but it is a really family-oriented run company. We have 12 winery estates. We have quite a few lifestyle brands that are sold at wholesale. And then we have our direct-to-consumer brands like Cameronese Wine, Vinesse, and Windsor Vineyards, which is the custom label, custom etching, etc. And my favorite wines, of course, are the wines that I get a hand in producing are at CameronEaseWine.com or CHWine.com.
Yeah.
And don't be mad at me, David, but my favorite current wine is a Pinot Noir, because it tastes like a Burgundian Pinot Noir with California heft. And it's called Cherry Pie, and it's from the Sonoma Coast. Okay. And I just love it. It's a delicious wine.
Well, calling
wine
it Cherry Pie is going to torque the hardcore Pinot lovers. I don't dislike Pinot. I dislike people telling me that I have to drink Pinot and that I can't drink other things, because you know what? I'll drink whatever I want. And people need to be empowered more to do that and to not be steered in the wrong direction. Jessica, I am so glad you came on. And now that we've had this initial conversation, there's 100,000 things I want to talk to you about. So thank you. Thank you so much. And we're going to do a lot more together, I hope.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's going to do it for Grape Encounters today. And by the way, go to grapeencounters.com. A couple of weeks ago, want to definitely check out my interview with Jenna Duran. It's just so heartwarming. She's adorable. But we've got two adorable vintage wine estates people in a matter of a month. That's, you know what? I must be doing something right. That's all I can say. God, thank you so much. And thank you, Jessica, for being on the show. Okay, just one last very important thought. I really need to impress upon everybody who has supported the show for the past 15 years and all of our newcomers as well, the importance of subscribing to the podcast version of the show. I'm not a big fan of the games we have to play to be highly visible, but make no mistake, it matters. It matters so much. And taking just a second to subscribe, whether you end up listening or not on a regular basis, is a game changer for us. So thanks so much for doing that. And thanks for listening to Grape Encounters. We will be back here next week without fail.
Grape Encounters Radio has been brought to you by Total Wine and More, where you'll find what you love and love what you find. You can explore the mind-bending selection of wines, beers, and spirits at TotalWine.com. If you love wine and have a little time to spare, by all means, spend it there.